My name is Elizabeth Maya Chimongas Mojinoska. I live in Adesea Station Drive.
That's a very long name. Where did that come from?
Half Polish, half Kenyan. So I inherited my husband's surname when we got married, but Chimongas is Kenyan.
And I know that you left Kenya when you were 13 and went to London, and it's been a long story for you to come up here. But I'm really interested in your life up here in Adesea. How long have you been here?
I've lived in Adesea for coming up to 5 years. Fell in love with the place as soon as we drove past the airport, saw the water, and I just instantly fell in love with Adesea and been here since.
And you have a very interesting job here too. You're right into the heart of the community.
Yeah, I got involved with setting up the community support page about 3 or 4 years ago around Christmas time. We noticed a lot of families were suffering, well, not suffering as such, but struggling with the whole juggling, buying Christmas presents, getting Christmas dinner sorted out. A lot of people, one, getting their benefit money the day before Christmas, and they wouldn't get any money for 2 weeks. And we wanted to find out if we could do anything as a family to support other people who were going through, you know, a hard time. So I set up the Adesea community support page with the intention of actually maybe just helping one or two families. And on Christmas Eve, we got messages and messages and ended up having to support about 27 families.
And when you say support, do you mean find food for them, money, or what was the thing?
Most of it was food. Most of it was finding food, presents. Some people, like I said, had no income, or their benefit money was stopped on the 24th. So for the whole 2 weeks, they'd have nothing. Some hadn't bought presents for kids. So we had to use our own money. My kids actually gave up some of their Christmas money and pocket money towards buying food and making food parcels. And then we put that on Facebook, and the rest of the community were like, nope, it's our community, we need to chip in. So everyone chipped in. I was picking up Christmas turkey, or you know, Christmas dinner leftovers, and dropping them up at different people's houses up until 10 o'clock at night. So we had our Christmas dinner pretty early on, and we finished at about 12. So from about 12 o'clock until about 10 o'clock at night, we were going around Adesea, Croy, Corda, picking up presents, duplicate presents that people were giving away, to drop them off at families in Adesea that needed it.
I'm pretty shocked to hear that there were so many. Did you do a count in the end of how many people?
We did. It was about 27. And I think, 27 in total that we helped. A couple were from Inverness, a couple were from Culloden, but I'd say 22 in total were from Adesea.
And that's quite a high proportion in a small community.
That is. It is. And I think the scary thing is, it could have been higher, because not everyone has access to Facebook. And not everyone has access to any form of social media. So if it's not on Facebook, they have no way of knowing that information's there. So it could have been higher. There could have been a lot of people who didn't see that post that needed that help. But for the people that did see the post, it was 22 families. And that's how the support group was birthed. And the support group gets a lot of... It gets a bit of abuse, but...
In what way?
You know, I'm classed as an outcomer. You know, I'm classed as an outcomer trying to tell the people born and bred in Adesea what to do. When really, my children are Scottish. They were born in Scotland. They know Scotland as home. I now know Scotland. I've spent over 3/4 of my life in the UK. I might not have a Scottish accent or a Scottish name, but I call Scotland home now. So for a lot of people, it was really difficult to have this person who's just moved into the village telling them, well, actually, you need this because so-and-so is struggling, they need this. Well, hang on, we've never noticed it be an issue before. Why is it an issue now? Actually, maybe because they didn't want to say. And a lot of the people that we help and we support are your job blogs that live next door to you and have lived next door to you for their entire life, but they just will not tell you because, one, they'll have fingers being pointed, two, they'll be gossiped about. So everything that we do is in the background. A lot of it is to do with privacy, we don't talk about you. You come and tell me your situation, I will help you. You're in a domestic violence situation. If I think that your life is in danger or you're going to endanger someone else, it is my responsibility to make that information known to the police or to someone else who can assist you further. But if I can do anything out with that, I will do whatever I can do to help you. So it was difficult. I still get that now, you know. Why do you have to have so much of an input? So many times I've thought, you know what, I'm going to give up. I'm not going to do it. And then I look at the people that it's helped. And then I look at the messages of people saying, you know what, if it wasn't for the support group, if it wasn't for the help that I received, we wouldn't have been able to go to this funeral. We wouldn't have been able to buy new clothes for a funeral. We wouldn't have been able to send our kids to school with school uniform. That then gives me the hope that, you know what, you've got a minority who are not going to agree with you. It doesn't matter. But then there's always the majority who are happy with what's been done.
And in a way, it took somebody from the outside to do it, as you've just so clearly explained. Where's it gone on from here?
It's still running. The IDC support page is still running. It's interesting because it's got people from all over the world who have joined the group. Anytime,
from all over the world?
From all over the world, yeah. You get people from Canada who have got roots, either grandparents or an aunt lived in Adisia. They've heard about Adisia. And they're like, oh, right, so, you know, they're involved. When you hear people saying, oh, we're looking for clothes for a newborn baby, you ask the community, you know, do we have any clothes? No, we don't. Oh, but guess what? Someone in Inverness has said they would like to drop some stuff off, or they'd like to drop off a coat. So it's gone arms and length. It's everywhere.
And how can you describe what poverty in Ardersier is like?
People don't like talking about poverty. I think, again, it's all that thing about pointing, and you don't want people to talk about you and just say, oh, you know, look at that person, look what they've got. But it's actually real, where people are struggling, not only financially, where it's a case of like struggling to feed your kids. That three meals is a big deal, and I think people don't understand that until they do what we do. They don't really get it. So that's why I'm really grateful for the support group, and also the food bank. We do like a Christmas hamper where the nursery and the primary school get involved, and people just chip in and put whatever you can in the hamper. And on Christmas Eve, we put a post up: have you got all your Christmas dinner together? If not, can you let us know? Don't put it on the page. Send a private message. Or you can do it on behalf of someone else. Or you can nominate someone else. So it doesn't need to be known that it's you who's done it. And the way that it's done, it's put in Tesco shopping bags. And they can be dropped off at your house or dropped off. Someone can come and pick it up anonymously so no one knows it's you. So the poverty is there. The poverty is real. People just hide under this cloud of let's pretend, you know, it's a small community. But it's real.
But the thought of children going hungry and people unable to feed them, that's a really shocking indictment.
And in a way, I'm so grateful to the fact that, yes, Adisi is a small community, but I'm so grateful that children who go to school can get free school dinners, because it just means that there's a meal. Because you don't know where the next meal is, but at least there's a meal, you know, there's a meal there. It'd be good if it went all through to primary seven, because it affects absolutely everyone. It'd be good if it went up that way. But I mean, at least there's a meal. And then you also have the Breakfast Club, which does basically breakfast for pennies, which again is fantastic for parents. And if parents are on income support, any sort of benefit, the kids can go there for, you know, get breakfast for free. So again, it's such a fantastic thing. But I don't think people who are not in the know-how about Adisia realize just how poverty, how real poverty is, and especially with the whole universal credit, it brings not only poverty, but brings depression and debt. And where there's depression and debt, there is going to be poverty.
Describe how that's working, because a lot of people who don't understand what universal credit, the impact of it, they might not quite realize how it works and how it causes these spirals of debt and depression.
From my understanding is, you fill an application form, and then it's not a case of where before, I understand, you could go to the job centre and say to them, listen, I've filled in my application form, I'm just waiting to hear back, and but I've got to feed my kids. And they'd say, right, here is a crisis loan or a crisis grant, there's £50, go and get food. There's nothing like that. You fill that form in, you have to wait however long, but you have to take the form there. So the whole point is, you're filled in a form, then you have to get the bus into town to have this appointment, then you need to come back, and then you have to wait 6 weeks. In that 6 weeks, what do you do with your kids? In that 6 weeks, who's feeding your kids? You know, so people don't understand that this whole universal credit has brought heaps of stress and depression and frustration, and like I said, with poverty along with it, the impact it's having on families. You know, you get people who put on a smile because this village is so small, so they don't want to be talked about. So they'll smile, they'll drop the kids off at school, they're smiling, they'll go home, it's a different story. They have to think about, I've only got £5 electricity left. How long is this gonna last me? Who do I ask? I could ask a support group. They might be able to help, they might not be able to help, but at least I'll ask and see if someone out there can help me.
And does the support group have any funds to, obviously when it's electricity, you really need hard cash for that.
Everything that the support group does is, when I started it, money from our own pockets. We got no loan from anyone, money from our own pockets. We've had people ask for help towards funeral expenses or costs to attend funerals and stuff like that. All we do is we put a post on there saying so-and-so needs to attend a funeral, they're looking for an outfit. Someone might say, I've got an outfit, come and collect it. Someone will say, actually, I'll put £10 towards them buying a new outfit. So that's how the support group works. There's no money from anywhere at all. So it all just comes from the community, hence the community support.
That's amazing. And as you say, from the rest of the world as well.
Yeah.
Does that include donations and things like that?
Donations have come from everywhere. The donations, we don't really accept monetary donations from out with, because it's difficult to accept money, or even it's difficult to say to someone, I'm having a crisis, can you put money into my bank account? It's really difficult. So the way the donations work, especially when it involves money, is a case of, you can go and buy the dress, I can come with you, you can buy the dress, or I'm happy to give you the £10 to go and buy the dress. It's not a case of like, we're collecting £1,000, let's put in so-and-so's bank account. The monetary side of it is very, very rare. It tends to be more to do with food. It's more even goods and services, perishable goods more than anything. And services, you know, you'll get an elderly person who needs a lift somewhere, they've got no one to go and help them, or check in on your neighbour, they've had a fall, can someone keep an eye on them? The other thing we did was the food parcels, you know, delivering food to elderly people.
It sounds like you're actually a mini social services, filling the gap quite considerably, gaps that normally in this society one would expect NHS or Highland Council to fill.
That is correct. When you try to book a doctor's appointment and either can't get to the doctor's because the nearest appointment is in Nairn, and you have to get the bus, but there's only one bus in Nairn, and you've not got the money to get to Nairn, you then depend on someone in the community to give you a lift there, to bring you back. Then someone will pick up your prescription for you, will bring you home. And then someone will mix some soup and will bring you home. Someone might do the laundry, bring it back home. Someone will just sit there and have a chat with you and just see how you're getting on. So we've kind of been forced to kind of look out for each other. And again, I think that's the benefit of living in such a small community. It's got its ups and downs. But I think the benefit is the fact that you can say to your neighbour, oh, I've got a doctor's appointment that I can't make, or I've got a prescription to pick it up. Can you pick it up for me because I don't drive? And you know your neighbour will pick it up for you, drop it off. Is there anything else you need? You know, you've got that kind of community spirit that we've been forced into. Because there's no choice. You know, you can't go to Inverness to your doctor's appointment because you can't afford it. But at least you know Joe Bloggs is going into town. I'll ask them if they can give me a lift there. And you know what? They'll go and get their shopping and then they'll pick me after my appointment. You just feel like you've been forced into that situation.
It's not necessarily a bad thing, is it, that people are neighbourly? But on the other hand, if it's a case of children going hungry, this benefit situation, I mean, that is truly shocking.
Very, very shocking in this day and age. People think of poverty. When you know when you say poverty, people think of kids in Africa, bellies, flies around them. That's poverty. People don't understand poverty is in Adisia. Poverty is that child who's had that one meal at school. That is poverty. So they don't get the concept that that could be poverty. They don't think, well, hang on, but they've had a meal. Yeah, they've had the meal at school. What about if they didn't have the meal at school? Then what would happen? They'd have no meal and you don't know how long for. But the parents wouldn't be able to, you know, approach Joe Bloggs for help, you know. So poverty is real, especially in Adisia. And it's just trying to find how to tackle it without offending people, and also by being very sensitive, and as well as trying to use the resources that we've got, which is not a lot, very, very minimal resources. So it's just trying to utilize the resources that we've got and trying to utilize each other. The spa is amazing. The spa, McLeod Organic, you know, they always donate stuff. Pace Cafe, they always say, right, who needs what? Right, it's okay, we'll sort that out. We can get that delivered to so-and-so. You know, so there's the community rally together. When there's a crisis, they rally together. But there's a crisis every single day. For a family, there's a crisis every single day. My worry is we've got 7 weeks holiday. The kids who rely on the school lunches for 7 weeks, what's happening to them?
Do you know what's happening to them?
Not really. No, because some of the parents don't want to approach you because they know either you've got your own issues you have to deal with, or they feel like, I'm always asking for help. I'm just going to try and do it myself. I'm always asking. Maybe I'm not going to ask for help this time. You know, so it's heartbreaking when you see kids, it's really hot, can't even get an ice lolly. You get 20 for £1.50. That could last them a week, but then it's £1.50 towards electricity or towards bread and milk, and that is poverty.
And have you got any kind of sense of what social services are actually doing?
Not really, nothing that I know of. The families that I've dealt with, I've not had social services involvement at all. It's a struggle with things like, I not want to even get health visitor appointments. It's really difficult because Adisia seems to be forgotten when it comes to certain things, because we live in such a small village, all the big places get looked after first, and Adisia just kind of gets just left to the side.
So what you're saying is these people that the community group is helping are actually totally under the radar. They're really suffering on their own.
They're suffering on their own. You know, if you live in Inverness, you've got no food. For example, if you've got no money, you can't buy any food, and you're still waiting for Universal Credits to help you, you can go to the council and you can get a ticket, and you can go to the Salvation Army or wherever, or to the food bank, and you can get bags of food, and at least you can rely on that. Adisia, I haven't got that. For you to get food bank, you need to spend £6.40 to get to town, to get the stuff, then walk over to wherever you need to go to the food bank to then get back home. But that's £6.40 towards your electricity. You know, so Addisea have got nothing. They've just been left. They've just kind of been, unless you're vocal and get someone who will listen, you have to shout and shout and shout and shout, and it would be a year before anything is done. By that time, it's too late. The impact's already been felt by the families. You know, someone is already dealing with depression. Someone can't go to work because they're so depressed, they're so stressed out. They don't know where the next meal is coming from. They don't know how long it's going to be until they get their money. So it becomes...
They're in a spiral of debt.
Yeah, well. That's exactly what it is. You know, this is exactly what it is. And you've got kids can't be kids because they either have to try and deal with what's going on at home, and then they can't really concentrate at school because they're dealing with so much, and they just can't be kids, which makes it really difficult. So, and that's why I'm grateful for things like the charity shop, that you can go into the charity shop and you can buy an outfit for £2. That means at least your children can be clothed for £2.